Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22. We're going to read through verse 29. There's several verses here, and I'm hoping that this could be very practical, very helpful for you. And I want to help you to grow as a Christian tonight. I can't help you grow as a Christian, but the Bible can, and that's what I want to get this to you. I think it'll be very helpful for you, and really in a very practical way. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22, the Bible says this, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment. In my Bible, I wrote two squares. You don't have to mark in your Bible, but in my Bible, this is what I have. I have a square drawn around the words put off, and I have a square drawn around the words put on. And then I have underlined what we're supposed to put off and put on. Verse 22, put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And then in verse number 24, put on the new man, which after God, Brother Vaughn, I'm preaching about to you tonight, and which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we've got a command here, put off the old man, put on the new man, and there's a command sandwiched right in the middle that we'll look at, and there's lots of examples after that. So look at verse number 25, and we'll get into the examples. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Do you see that? Put off the old man, the lying, and put on the new man, truth. For we are members one of another. Verse 26, we see it again. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Three commands tonight. The first one, put off the old man. The last one, put on the new man. The one sandwiched right in the middle is verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and then some examples. So I'm going to pray, and we'll jump right into this message. Father, I pray that you would use this passage of Scripture to help us to be better Christians, to help us to grow as Christians, and to help us to realize that the Christian life is a process of continually taking off the old, putting on the new, and allowing you to continue to work in our life until we become more and more and more pleasing to you. I pray that you'd help us to do that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the Old Testament story of Naaman. It's kind of hard to spell. It's N-A-A-M-A-N. It's like Naaman. That's just an easy way to remember it. That's how I remember it. But his name is Naaman, all right? And Naaman was a leper, but he was also the captain of an army. A very, very important man, a very powerful man, but at the same time, he was a leper. Now, a leper is one who's got a disease. It's a disease of the skin, a disease of the flesh, and it's a deadly disease. Eventually, Naaman knew that he was going to die, and it was going to be a miserable death, but he heard that there was a prophet in Israel. The prophet's name was Elisha. So Naaman went down to the prophet Elisha through a series of events, got to his door, and the prophet Elisha, you remember what he told him? He said, go and dip seven times in the Jordan River. Do you remember what Naaman's response was? I'm just doing that to get you awake and listening, okay? Preachers have all kinds of dumb things we do sometimes. That's one of them, and I'll admit it was dumb. All right, so do you remember what Elisha said to Naaman to do to get rid of his leprosy? Go dip in the Jordan seven times. What did Naaman say? Was he excited? He said, yes, this is going to be easy. No, he got mad. And he said, there's better rivers where I come from, and you're telling me to go dip in the Jordan River? It's like some of you from back east. If you come to Albuquerque, you come to this amazing, amazing western town with the mighty Rio Grande River running through the middle of it, and you get here, maybe you've got the Mississippi back home, or you've got the, I don't know, Snake River in Idaho, or you know, some beautiful rivers, and you get here, and we say, wow, let's go look at our river, and you're like, that's a river? Roy, am I speaking your language now? And you're like, that's like a muddy, and I can just imagine what Naaman's thinking. He's looking at that, like you might look at the Rio Grande River when you first get here, and you think, you want me to get in that? That's muddy, it's dirty. But he eventually did it. He goes down to the Jordan River, and he dips seven times in the river. I don't know how he dipped. Really, the Bible doesn't say he just dipped. He may have just like plugged his nose under the water. He may have done cannonballs all seven times. He may have done corkscrews or jackknives. I don't know how he did, but he got him. Seven times he went underwater. The seventh time he came up out of the water, something amazing happened. The Bible says that his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. His flesh before was full of sores and full of disease. But that seventh time he came up out of the water, and the Bible says his flesh was like a baby, a little child. That'd be awesome. And I mean, just think of that. He's probably midlife. He's going through his midlife crisis kind of thing. And now, woo, I got a brand new lease on life. I got a brand new flesh. And you know, be careful because he can get blisters if he's not, you know, things like that. But what an amazing thought. He changed out this old flesh. God did this miracle, and now he's got this brand new flesh. And just like Naaman was made new on the outside, God wants to make you new on the inside. The Apostle Paul, what a great example of this right here. I want you to look at Romans chapter 7, if you would. We're in Ephesians, so go back towards Romans a little bit. The Apostle Paul, a couple observations, first of all. We know he was a Christian. We know he was saved. We've got the story of Jesus appearing to him from heaven on the road to Damascus. Saul gets saved. He becomes Paul. The very next chapter in Acts, he went from stoning Stephen in one chapter and persecuting the church in one chapter to preaching Jesus Christ in the next chapter, and people were wanting to kill him. We know he was saved. There's evidence all through his life. The Apostle Paul was saved. The Apostle Paul was a Christian, but the Apostle Paul still struggled with sin. I want you to see it. It's Romans chapter 7. Look at verse number 19. Paul said this, "For the good that I would, I do not." This could be kind of a confusing passage, but let's just break it down. He said, "I want to do good, but I end up not doing it. But the evil which I would not, that I do." The things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. And he's a saved man. He's a Christian. He's a preacher. And he's saying the things that I want to do that are good, I end up not doing. The things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. He's struggling with sin. Look at verse 20. "Now if I do that, I would not, or if I do those things I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." He's admitting that even as a Christian, even as a preacher, there's sin in his life, and that sin ends up causing him to do sin. Look at verse 21. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." And here's what I want you to get. After you get saved, the Christian life is all about allowing God to exchange your old man for your new man. It doesn't just happen once and then it's done. Now, when you get saved, it's done. You trust Christ as your Savior. You are saved. There's nothing that takes away your salvation. You're safe, secure, in the hand of Christ, in the hand of the Father. You are saved. We call that eternal security. We call that assurance of salvation. But there's a process that will go on the rest of your life from there of exchanging your old man for the new man that God has for you. The Apostle Paul was telling us about his struggle and his struggles of exchanging his old man for his new man. It's kind of like we've got a barbecue in our backyard. And we've got a big old tank in our backyard, and it's a propane tank. How many of you have got a barbecue in your yard and you've got a propane tank? Now, isn't it the most frustrating thing? We this almost happened the last birthday party we had at our house. And we almost didn't think to go fill up this propane tank. And sometimes you get people over, you get the steaks out, you get the hamburgers or the hot dogs out or whatever it is you cook on that. And you're getting ready to go. You light it and it cooks for about 2 minutes. It gets hot and then poof, it's just gone. That smell of propane lingering in the air. And you're like, oh, I should have exchanged my propane. You know, sometimes our life is like, oh, I wish I could exchange the new man for the old man. That's what we're talking about. God wants to make that change, and that's what this passage is about. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Put on the new man. It doesn't just happen once and then it's done. It's a constant process that will continue for the rest of your life. Let me give you an example to help you understand this. Remember, put off the old man, put on the new man. We sing a song on the bus route sometimes. We sing it in Sunday school. Take off the old robe and put on the new. The old robe was dirty, all tattered and torn, but the new robe was spotless, had never been worn. The best thing in my life ever to do was take off the old robe and put on the new. Now let's talk about salvation. But what I want you to understand here, because of the examples, we realize it's not just about salvation. It goes beyond that. And God says, the process that I want you to continue doing for the rest of your life is when I convict you about something in your life that you need to change, that you need to exchange, let me have that. Give it to me. Surrender it to me. Make a decision. Give it up, whatever you want to call it, and let me exchange that for you. Take off that old man, put on the new man. Here's the illustration. When I was 15, I went on a 65-mile backpacking trip at Philmont Scout Ranch. It was awesome. I was so excited about it. We prepared for it. I got a backpack and I got some high-tech boots. I love high-tech boots. I still have a pair of high-tech boots. And I got my pair of high-tech boots and we started training. We practiced in the Sandia Mountains carrying rocks in our backpacks. You're just training, trying to get ready for this. Finally, the day came. We went and we started this trek. Now, 65-mile trek is broken down into some short hiking days, but it was 10 days on the trail. Now, maybe a different group of people, maybe as if it was Girl Scouts or something, it would have been different. This is Boy Scouts, right? So we showered the day before we left, most of us. Some didn't. But once we got there, there really wasn't any need for taking a shower or even changing clothes or anything, really, for about 10 days. Actually, it was a 12-day trip, and if you count the couple days before, likely. So we're talking nearly 2 weeks between showers. Now, there were a couple options to take showers on the trail. There was one place where you could go and you can gather firewood and you can build a fire and you can get the water real nice and hot in this tank and then you could turn the water on and you get some hot water for a little bit. But think about it. Your mom's not there. There's nobody making you take a shower. You're like free as the wind. You don't have to worry about it. So here's what happened. After 12 days, we were ripe. Rank may be the word. It was awful. But whenever you're that way and everybody else is that way, you don't notice so bad until you get in your tent at night and it's like, whew, and you don't fall asleep, you pass out. And it was just bad. When we came back, we get back into base camp, and it's kind of funny because nobody comes near you. It's like you've got the plague or something. But then we got to go take a shower. Nice hot shower, change into some clean clothes. And I'll tell you what, I got back and changed into those fresh clothes, and the transformation was so great that I haven't needed to take a shower or change clothes ever since. It was amazing. No, I still get dirty. I still need to take a shower, and most times I don't wait 10 days. And see, in our Christian life, salvation is an amazing thing, and it changes us, transforms our destiny forever. But what we have right here is an example of some areas where we need to continually allow God to take off the old man and put on the new man. Now, we can't do it on our own. It's not something that you can do in your own power. The same grace that saved you is the grace that's going to sustain you and the same grace that's going to help you to grow. So it's got to be God doing this work in your life. The Bible says, put off the old man. The Bible says that old man is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And you just think about lusts and how deceiving lusts are. The Bible says lust, when it hath, it brings forth sin, and sin when it is finished, lust when it is conceived bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Lust is a very deceitful thing. The sins that we want to take part of, and that they look so good, and we get tempted to do them, but they are deceitful. And the Bible says the old man is corrupt according to those deceitful lusts. We read what the Apostle Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Why is that? Well, because by one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You and I are sinners. We know that. And whenever we get saved, Jesus Christ forgives us of our sins, and he applies his blood, and our sins are forgiven. They're taken as far as the east is from the west. But still within us, as the Apostle Paul said, dwelleth no good thing. So the Bible says, put off the old man. And then right in the middle of putting off the old man and putting on the new man, look at verse number 23. There's this command. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, that sounds kind of familiar to another verse. We're going to look at Romans 12 in just a moment. But it's basically this. Let God change the way you think. If you present your body to God, he will renew your mind. And when your mind is renewed, you can do the will of God. Now, that's in Romans chapter 12. And I want to read that for you. Go ahead and turn there if you're close to it. Romans chapter 12. You've got a very similar type of a statement. Ephesians, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So the first step, present your body to God. And then verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The second step is if I present my body to God, I yield myself to God, God will transform me. And he does that by renewing my mind. And then I can prove that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The end result is I can do the will of God, but it's got to start with me yielding myself to him. And so you've got the first command was put off the old man. The second command is to renew the spirit of your mind. Yield yourself to God. Yield your body to God. Allow God to work in your life, and eventually he will renew your mind so that you can do the will of God. And then you've got the last command, and that is in verse number 20. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man. And that's where really I want to spend the rest of the message tonight. Put on the new man. The Bible says it's created in righteousness and holiness in the image of God. The new man can't be your best effort. It can't be you saying, okay, I'm going to do my very best to turn over a new leaf. That's not what God's talking about. God is talking about allowing him to work in your life to make somebody new out of you, to take away the old and exchange it for something new. It must be God's grace working through you. And God was so good, he gave us some examples of this happening. So look at Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse number 25. Ephesians 4, verse 25. We've got our first example of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Here it is. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So the command is this, put away lying and speak truth. There's the exchange. Put off the old man, which is lying. Put on the new man, which is speaking truth. The old man likes to lie. Now, For most of the guys in here, this is not a problem because we're thinking old man, new man. But ladies, this is talking about you as well. It doesn't say, and God was smart, he didn't say put off the old woman. Nobody would have listened, right? You'd got mad. So it says put off the old man. It's just talking about your inner man, the person inside of you, who you are. Let God change the old person, the old sinful flesh that you are, and let him exchange that for something different. In this case, put away lying. The old man likes to lie. The new man, though, is created after God. And we understand that God cannot lie. So if God exchanges, he takes away the old man, and he puts in a new man, the new man that God puts in me is created after God, in the image of God, if you want to say it that way. God cannot lie. So this new man that God is trying to work into my life is a man that eventually, if I do let God work inside of me, will not lie. The new man should speak truth. Do you see that example? Put away lying and speak truth. Take off the old man, put on the new man. Look at the next verse. It's verse number 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The old man sins when he gets angry. The new man is created after God. God cannot sin. So the new man should not allow anger to cause him to sin. And how do we get to that point? Well, it's the working of God in you. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness. There's goodness and there's gentleness. Long-suffering is what I'm trying to get to. The fruit of the Spirit is when things happen in your life, you can be patient, you can have long-suffering, and something going on, yeah, you might get angry, it might make you upset, but that being upset doesn't lead you to sin. Now, the old man, the person naturally inside of you, the person naturally inside of me, when somebody cuts me off in traffic on purpose, when somebody, you know, does something mean to me on purpose, I tend to get mad. I have this trigger in me, and you've got that trigger in you. When somebody does something mean to you, it kind of makes you want to do something mean back. I can't explain it except for this sin nature that's inside of us. And God says, let me exchange that. And there's going to be things in your life that make you angry, but don't let that anger cause you to sin. Be ye angry and sin not. Look at the next one. It's in verse number 27. Remember, we're exchanging the old man for the new man. We're letting God do that in our life. Verse 27 of Ephesians chapter 4. Neither give place to the devil. You know, the old man gave the devil many opportunities to work in his life. Giving place to the devil is like giving him a platform in my life to work on. It's like renting the devil office space in my heart. Neither give place to the devil. The old man was fine doing that. The old man gave the devil many opportunities to work through his life. And as we grow as Christians, we realize an immature Christian does, sometimes because of ignorance, they just don't know any better, gives the devil lots of opportunities to work in our life. You know, worldly music will give the devil an opportunity to work in your life. If you're listening to rock music, if you're listening to the country music, it's talking about divorce and drinking and all these adultery, things like that. If you're listening to that, you're giving the devil a place. You're renting him office space, except you're giving it to him for free in your heart. And you're giving him a platform. You're giving him a place to work on. That's the old man. And what God says is, I want to put a new man in there instead that's not going to give place to the devil. And I want to exchange that for the old man. Giving place to the devil. You've heard this statement, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Giving the devil place to set up shop is giving him a place on the inside of your castle to attack you from. It's like the devil's trying to attack you from the outside. We've got these big walls set up that say, no way. But if he wants to sneak in and set up a little castle on the inside of our castle, a little stronghold in there, a lot of times we're saying, yeah, come on in and set up shop inside here. And when we do that, we're giving place to the devil. God says, I want to exchange that so you're not giving place to the devil. And now let me put the new man in that doesn't let him do that. Feeding a sinful addiction like drugs or alcohol or pornography gives the devil a platform where he can work to destroy your life. We fight terrorism around the world. We're fighting this war on terror. We've been fighting it for years, 15 years almost now, that we've officially called it that. And we fight terrorism in other countries, but you know, there are terrorist cells that have developed in our own country. It's kind of a scary thought. Yeah, there's terrorists around the world, and if we can keep them away, that'd be great. But what about those that set up these terrorist cells in our country? You know, sometimes those terrorist cells are called the enemy within. And that's exactly what we do. The old man, it's enjoyable. The temptations are enjoyable, and they feed the flesh, and it's something that makes us feel good sometimes. So we want to give the devil place, but God says, I want to exchange that. Let me give you a new man that won't give the devil place in your heart. You know, we try to stay healthy. We wash our hands, and we take vitamins. We're constantly on guard against infections developing within our body. We don't want to give place, or we don't want to give infection a place where it can grow and cause damage for the rest of our body. I mean, we're careful about that. We wash our hands. We try to be careful about it. But at the same time, as Christians, sometimes we're letting the devil come in and take place. And we give him place. You know, I'm prone to getting infections. It's kind of weird, but inside my nose. It's kind of the craziest thing. And you'd be like, ooh, stay away, Pastor. You told me about that now. You know, over several days, sometimes it's kind of funny how it works. It's not funny when I'm going through it, but my nose can swell up and turn bright red, and it gets so tender that if I barely touch it, I'll cry. I mean, it hurts. It usually happens during allergy season. Sometimes it happens during stressful times. It happened, I believe it happened, if I'm remembering it right, when Janessa and Jonathan were born. Both of them. We've got these wonderful pictures of me holding these babies with a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer nose. And it was just this infection that started in there. And the first time it happened, I tried to ignore it. But you can't just ignore infection sometimes. It didn't go away. Eventually, I couldn't handle it anymore. I went down to the urgent care, and I waited for hours to get an antibiotic shot. And finally, I got that, and over the next week or so, it went away. But here's what I learned. I learned that the best way to treat a terribly sore, beautifully shiny red nose was to get rid of the infection before it became a problem. And I've learned to do that. It's made such a difference. You know, let's don't give place to the devil. The new man is created after God. God does not give the devil a platform to work from. The new man should not give the devil a place to work from in his life. Remember this. If you give the devil a foothold, it will become a stronghold, and eventually it will become a chokehold. You've got to remember that. That's why we preach, don't listen to worldly music, don't go to worldly places. Be careful not to have close worldly friends, because that's giving the devil a foothold in your life that will become a stronghold, eventually become a chokehold. Look at the next example here. We're going to have to be done with this one. The Bible says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." The old man has no problem with stealing. Let him that stole steal no more. When you don't fear God, there's no absolutes. Right and wrong are only ideas that can be changed to fit the situation. So the old man will justify doing wrong if it helps him. The old man will justify doing wrong if it makes him feel good, or doing wrong because in his mind it really isn't wrong or really isn't that bad. The old man, the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. We're still talking about exchanging the old man for the good man. Let God do that. The old man will steal from someone else instead of working to earn it himself. The old man will steal from someone else because he thinks life has treated him unfairly sometimes. The old man, this is interesting, but it's true. The old man will break windows, destroy cars, and loot businesses as a way of celebrating his team winning the Super Bowl or the national championship. Or he'll do the same thing as a way of protesting the fact that his team lost. He just needs an excuse to do it, and he's fine stealing stuff. That's the old man. The new man, though, is created after God. God does not steal. God's commanded us not to steal. The new man should labor and work with his hands, the Bible says, to get what he needs. Did you catch that in that verse? It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let God exchange the old man that likes to steal for the new man that's willing to work hard. And God blesses that. A man that works hard will have enough for his family and enough to give to others who have a need because they're not able to work. Instead of stealing like the old man wants us to do, let's do what the new man does or should do, and that is to work hard. The last one is let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Instead, the Bible says, but that which is good to the use of edifying. We've got to be so careful with our mouths. Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Proverbs 18, 21, the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The old man likes to tear people down. God's saying, let me exchange that in you for the new man who will build people up, to edifying, to building people. So here's the message all in one sentence, ready? The Christian life is a constant journey of allowing God to take off the old man and put on the new man in every area, big and small. There's some obvious ones, and you look at somebody that's maybe just got saved, and you think, man, he's got to make this change. But you don't need to look too far. You can look at yourself and say, you know, there's still some areas in my life where there's an old man there. Still, the Apostle Paul still struggled with that. He said, the things that I want to do, I'm not doing. There's still that change that needs to be made. Maybe more subtle things. Maybe things that not everybody can see. But there's still an old man inside. And there's still God saying, let me exchange that old man. And I don't have the verse memorized, but I didn't even look it up for this. Until we come to the measure of Christ. The perfect measure of Christ. That ought to be our goal. And as you grow as a Christian, just pray that God would allow you to do that. Let him do it. Let him work in your life. yield yourself to him so that he can begin to make that exchange. Father, I pray that you would use this message to help us to grow, to become stronger Christians. Every one of us, we have an old man, and that old man is struggling to gain control in our lives. But you want to take that old man out, you want to exchange it for the new man. The new man that pleases you, the new man that lives for you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. In every area of our life, some obvious areas, some not so obvious, some that nobody else would even know about. But Lord, I pray that every one of us, we would yield ourselves to you tonight. We would give ourselves to you and say, God, any exchange that you want to make, I am willing and I'm ready.